Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, March 28th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Tim Walz runs for governor, and President Trump's supporters in Minnesota react to the failure of the health bill. Minnesota DFLer Tim Walz is ready to give up his seat in Congress to wage a campaign for governor. Brian Baxt has more.
Walz is the fourth, but probably not the last, Democrat to enter the 2018 race. It's an open seat given incumbent Governor Mark Dayton's plan to retire after two terms. Walz says he will seek the party endorsement next year. The timing likely wouldn't allow him to fall back to Congress if unsuccessful. But he says it's up or out.
There's no turning back. I'm in. I want to work to make Minnesota the one Minnesota we know it can be, and so I'm all in.
The six-term congressman says he's a problem solver who has proven he can win in a swing district. He barely won re-election last November in a district Republican Donald Trump won for president by double digits. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Mass transit supporters are warning that the Republican budget proposal in the Minnesota House would result in big cuts to metro area bus service. Metropolitan Council Chairman Adam Dunick says the House transportation bill reduces transit funding by $122 million. He says a reduction of that size would force the Met Council to reduce service by as much as 40%, even with a fare increase.
When people are faced with potentially having to support a light rail project, which they don't like, they say, well, we would support the bus system. But this budget proposal does the exact opposite. This is a significant reduction to our bus service at a time when we can least afford it.
Republican Representative Paul Torkelson, the chair of the House Transportation Committee, said the reduction reflects less than expected revenue from the motor vehicle sales tax, which helps fund transit. When it comes to Minnesota's teacher shortage, a lot has to do with the size of a school district. Large districts in urban areas of the state have different needs than those in Minnesota's small towns, and some say the word shortage is misleading. Solveig Wastvedt has more.
Minneapolis School's Human Resources Officer Maggie Sullivan doesn't buy the phrase teacher shortage, at least not for her district.
It's not necessarily that we have a teacher shortage. I would say there's a misalignment.
Sullivan says Minneapolis gets plenty of applications, but struggles to find enough teachers in specific areas, namely special education, math, and science. In other subjects, not so much. A recent statewide education department report showed that some teacher training schools have trouble placing graduates in jobs in elementary education, social studies, and physical education. But there's one thing most districts need more of: teachers of color.
We really struggle to ensure that we have a recruitment pool that reflects our student population.
Students of color now make up almost a third of Minnesota's school population. Just 4% of teachers are people of color. The state hasn't calculated how long teachers of color stick around once they get in the job. But an NPR News analysis found that retention is much lower for this group than for white teachers. About 40% of teachers of color leave after just 3 years. Only about 25% of white teachers leave in that time. In large urban and suburban districts, student populations are even more diverse, which increases the need for a diverse workforce. Like the Roseville School District, which has just over half students of color. Roseville's teacher diversity is better than the state overall. 10% are teachers of color.
Today I'm going to read you a story about one of my heroes. One of my heroes.
Roberta Hernandez Rasmussen is one of those teachers. She's Mexican-American and in her 10th year at Roseville. She pulls a bunch of red grapes out of a paper bag to help illustrate the book she's about to read to her elementary class about labor organizer Cesar Chavez.
And so he organized people to strike. And the word for Spanish, I'm going to teach you a word in Spanish. It's called huelga. Can you say that?
Huelga.
Perfect. Huelga means...
Hernandez Rasmussen says Roseville does things to help teachers of color stay, like a discussion group that meets during the school day. But she still worries about turnover because she says it means students miss out on connections, like the one she's built with Genesis, a third grader who comes in the room and starts talking in Spanish with her. Genesis says she's a little nervous about being interviewed.
If you don't know that much like English, you can like tell a teacher in Spanish.
Genesis says it's often easier to speak Spanish, since that's what she mostly uses at home. And when she moved to Roseville this year, she says Hernandez Rasmussen made things easier.
She was like the only person that I talked to because I was nervous to talk to other people. I'm shy to talk to other people.
Hernandez Rasmussen says her students can really benefit from long-term relationships with a teacher who gets them.
The continuity of knowing that when I had you in kindergarten, we had a conversation because you told me you wanted to be lighter. You wished your skin wasn't so dark. And we talked about that. And we have a connection. If a person can stay, the impact of that long-term relationship, I think, is just really powerful.
School officials say they know staff diversity is a big issue. Programs in Minneapolis and Osseo focus on teacher training for unlicensed school staff, who tend to be a more diverse group. At the state capitol, lawmakers are considering expanding loan forgiveness funding to include teachers of color, providing scholarships, and giving more support to targeted training programs. And the share of newly licensed teachers who are people of color has grown slightly. However, retention numbers have not really moved, which means all those hard-won hires may be headed right back out the door. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
With the Republican effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act ground to a halt, we wanted to hear from some supporters of President Donald Trump in Minnesota. Mark Zedeklik tracked down a few of the more than 1.3 million Minnesotans who voted for Trump to get their take.
The bill that was doomed by opposition in Congress was also hugely unpopular across the nation. Only 17% favored in a recent poll. Joe Lindecki is among the Trump supporters who didn't like the legislation. He runs his own plumbing business outside of Duluth in Hermantown. Even though many media outlets frame the bill's demise as a major defeat for the president, Lindecki likes the outcome.
Obamacare, you know, that was 100% left push. This new plan, that's 100% right push. Left or right, when it's one-sided, they're both wrong.
Lindecki, who describes himself as politically independent, says he doesn't like the Republican effort to replace the Affordable Care Act through a series of rule changes and legislative efforts. He thinks they should develop one comprehensive bill, not a piecemeal approach.
We've got, well, we'll pass this part, and then we'll go to the next part and the next part. Not a good deal. Come up with a plan, and when the plan is complete and both parties agree that this is a better plan, that's when you put it to a vote.
Republicans chose the route they did because they doubted a comprehensive bill would get enough support from Senate Democrats to pass. Lindecki says he remains a strong Trump supporter and that he thinks the president needs to regroup with Republicans and Democrats to come up with a health care plan. Lloyd Cheney, the chairman of Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District Republicans, was disappointed the House pulled the GOP bill Trump heavily promoted. Unlike Lindecki, Cheney liked the piecemeal approach. He says the combined administrative rule changes and policy changes looked like the GOP would deliver on its oft-repeated promise to kill off Obamacare once and for all. Despite Trump's close association with the bill, Cheney says Trump is not left as damaged goods.
I think that he can renegotiate a deal. You've seen him in his personal life go from, you know, from what you think is bottom back up to the top and vice versa. And he's a survivor. So I don't think that it will hurt him at all.
Cheney, who lives in Hastings, says Trump should continue pushing for an alternative to the Affordable Care Act. And even with Republican majorities in both houses of Congress, Cheney says the Republican president needs to work with Democrats and Republicans to come up with a bipartisan solution.
The American people put the Republicans back in charge by giving them both houses of Congress and the executive branch, and they expect results. That's why I stress that we need to go back to the drawing board.
Linda Schauer, who lives in South Minneapolis, describes herself as a lifelong Democrat who voted for Trump because he's a political outsider. She's no fan of Obamacare and wants the health insurance mandate done away with, among other things. But she says it's going to take time.
And it's not surprising to me that it would have fallen apart in the House. Yeah, how many days has this guy been in office?
Schauer says she thinks Republicans moved too quickly on their health care plan, but she understands why they were in a hurry.
I realize he went into office to do. That's, I mean, clearly that's what the man's trying to do, is do what he said he was going to do.
Schauer is convinced that the debate over the Affordable Care Act is far from over, despite House GOP leaders' decision not to put their bill up for a vote.
I don't think the health care thing is dead in the water. This particular one may be dead in the water, but I don't think it's dead in the water altogether.
Schauer reasons that too many people are struggling with increasing premiums on the individual market. She says voters will hold politicians accountable if they don't come up with a fix. It's why she thinks Trump won the presidency. Covering healthcare, I'm Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.